Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building something small, but seriously powerful. A warehouse coded 808 tail that sits inside a jungle or old-school D&B groove like it was always meant to be there. The whole point here is not to make a giant sub that just keeps ringing out. We want a tail that feels like a phrase tool. Something that answers the break, pushes into the next bar and gives the groove that rude, dark pressure that old-school jungle does so well. Think of it like a bass punctuation mark. Short. Heavy and intentional. Start with a clean 808 style one shot in simpler. If you already have a kick with a strong tail, that can work too, but you want a source with a clear fundamental and a decay you can shape. Put simpler into classic mode and trim the start so the transient is tight and the body comes in immediately. You're aiming for a tail that feels defined, not sloppy. Keep the decay somewhere roughly between 150 and 600 milliseconds depending on tempo and how busy your break is. A good early decision is the pitch. In jungle, the tail often works best when it supports the root or the fifth of the track, because that gives it weight without making it feel disconnected. If the sample has too much click, trim the start a little more or soften the attack slightly. You want the first 100 to 200 milliseconds to carry the impact, then the tail should fall away cleanly. Why this works in D&B is simple. Jungle bass events often feel percussive, not endlessly sustained. The groove is built from drum movement, bass replies, and little bursts of low-end energy. A short 808 tail fits that language. It behaves like part of the rhythm section, not like a separate sub-note trying to take over. Now tighten the character. If the tail feels too static, don't immediately stretch it into some huge slide. That can drift into trap-style behavior, which is usually not what we want here. Instead, keep the movement subtle and let the tone do the work. A slightly falling tail can feel animated and rude, but it should still sound controlled. You want attitude, not cartoon drama. From there, shape it with a simple stock chain. EQ8, then saturator, then auto filter. EQ8 comes first so you can clean up any junk before you add character. High pass only if needed, usually around 20 to 30 Hz just to remove rumble. If the sample is muddy, make a gentle dip somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz. Don't overdo it. We're not trying to hollow it out. We're just making room for the kick and snare to breathe. Then hit it with saturator. A starting point of 2 to 6 dB of drive is often enough. If the tail starts spiking too hard, use soft clip and bring the output back down. What you're listening for is density. The tail should feel fuller and easier to hear, not just louder. That's a huge difference. If it gets louder but doesn't gain harmonics, it may disappear on smaller systems. If it gets denser, it translates. After that, use auto filter to control the brightness. Keep it fairly restrained. Somewhere between 2 and 8 kHz on the low pass can work, depending on how dusty or bright you want it. The goal is to keep the tail dark enough to feel old school, but still clear enough that it reads in the mix. You do not want it poking out like a shiny modern bass effect. At this point, decide what kind of tail you're building. There are really two strong options. One is the substamp. That version is mostly mono, deep, and modestly saturated. It's perfect if the break is already busy or the main bass line has a lot going on. The other is the grimy answer. That one pushes a little more low mid texture, with more saturation and a slightly more open filter on the attack. That version works great when you need attitude and transition pressure. A good rule of thumb is this. If the arrangement is crowded, go substamp. If the arrangement is sparse and you need the tail to speak, go grimy. Both are valid. It just depends on the job. Now place it against the break, not on top of it. That's where the magic happens. In jungle, the tail often feels best when it lands just after a snare accent, or on the offbeat after a kick, or as a pickup into the next bar. Try putting it at the end of a two-bar phrase so it behaves like a turnaround. The break plays, the bass phrase happens, then the tail arrives and pulls everything into the next section. What to listen for here? If the tail lands too early, it can fight the snare. If it lands too late, it can feel detached and random. The sweet spot is that moment where it feels like the tail is dragging the listener forward. A tiny late nudge can make it feel heavier and more warehouse-like. A slightly early placement can feel more urgent. Use that deliberately. Very important. Don't solo it forever. Put the tail in context with the drums and main bass line right away. Ask three questions. Does the kick still punch? Does the snare still crack? Does the tail leave room for the next drum hit or bass phrase? If the answer is no, shorten the tail before you start over-reeking it. In this style, shortening is often the cleanest fix. If the low end is muddy, try a small cut around 120 to 250 Hz only if that's where the clash actually lives. but don't carve blindly. And if the tail is stepping on the kick, move it a few milliseconds later or drop its level first. In jungle, the low end gets crowded fast because the break already has its own base residue. Your 808 tail should support the groove, not become a second sub-line fighting for the same space. Now let it groove a little. If the break has swing, the tail should respect it. You can use groove pool or manually nudge the tail so it sits just behind the hardest break hits. Keep it subtle. We're not trying to make it loose for the sake of being loose. We want controlled stagger, the kind that makes the phrase breathe and feel human without losing that warehouse precision. And here's a really useful habit. Once you find the pocket, commit, freeze it, consolidate it, or print it to auto. That stops you from endlessly chasing a better version of the same idea. In DNB production, a commit point can save you hours. Seriously, once the tail has a clear job, don't keep tweaking it unless you have a musical reason. Now we can make it more musical across the arrangement. In the intro or first drop, keep it darker and shorter. Less saturation, lower filter cutoff, tighter decay. Then in a later phrase or second drop, open it up a little. Maybe a touch more grit, slightly longer release, and a filter that opens just a bit more on the attack. That's enough to create progression without changing the identity of the sound. If the tail already feels right musically, print it to audio and move on. That's a real producer move. Don't keep sculpting just because you can. Sometimes the best decision is to stop when the groove says yes. If you want more character, resample it. Print the processed tail to audio, then treat it like part of your percussion architecture. You can chop the start tighter, add tiny fades, reverse a copy for a pre-hit swell, or layer a very quiet octave-up version that you high-pass aggressively for extra translation. That ghost layer is great when the pure sub is a little too polite on smaller speakers. It gives the listener a grip point without changing the low-end weight. One more thing that matters a lot in this style: mono discipline. Keep the actual tail centered and mostly mono. If you want width, create it in a separate high-pass texture layer, not in the fundamental. Wide sub sounds impressive in headphones, but it usually collapses in mono and loses that proper warehouse impact. The core should stay solid and centered. That's how it stays dangerous. What to listen for here? Play the tail at a lower volume. If you can still hear the note and feel the groove, you've got good harmonic support. If it only works loud, it's probably too dependent on sub energy. Add harmonics before adding more sub. That's usually the smarter move. A couple of common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the tail too long. It will smear the next snare and turn a tight jungle gesture into lazy subsustain. Don't over-widen it. Don't treat it like a standalone sound design exercise. And don't over-open the filter so much that it starts sounding glossy and modern. Dark usually wins here, especially in the first drop. If the track feels too polite, use silence as a weapon. Leave a little negative space before the tail hit. Then let it drop into the phrase. That contrast can feel massive. In jungle, the absence before impact is often part of the impact. So here's the real takeaway. A strong jungle 808 tail is not just a sound, it's a phrasing decision. It should be short, dark, rhythmically aware, and disciplined in the low end. It should lock to the break, support the snare, and make the groove feel more dangerous without stealing the show. If it feels like it belongs to the record, you're doing it right. Now put that into practice. Build the short, subby version first, then make the dirtier one. Arrange both inside a two-bar jungle phrase. Check them against the break, then against the full bass line. If you want the extra challenge, take it further and build a four-bar loop, where the tail evolves from clean punctuation into a more aggressive transition tool. Keep it dark, keep it tight, and let the groove do the talking.